This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Last week I read from a story written by Earl Chapin about Dr. Lawrence Parker, which was included in the book Remembrances, compiled by Hazel Walberg. I'll read more from that story today. He was raised in England to a family with many ancestors in the writing and publishing fields, who enjoyed the company of actors and artists. Young Lawrence was given the best education money could buy. He was tutored as a pianist from an early age, enrolled at King's Preparatory Medical College, Abingdon, Berkshire. He looked forward to a comfortable and lucrative practice in well-appointed quarters in some English city, the best of hospitals at his command. Little did he dream that his first major operation would be performed on a kitchen table in a pioneer outpost on the other side of the Atlantic. There are a multitude of small things that can deflect the course of a man's life, and in this instance, it was the case of scarlet fever. The malady seriously impaired the boy's sight. It was saved by surgery performed by Dr. Critchett, a noted London eye specialist. But the youth remained in uncertain health, and after many family conferences, it was decided to send him to America. The air, it was said, was better there. Doubtless, Lawrence had something to do with the decision. As a boy, he had reveled in tales of the American West. They appealed to his venturous spirit. So his father paid $400 to the Ford, Rathbone & Walters Colonization Company, and at 18, Lawrence emigrated to America to spend a year learning how to become a farmer. After that, he had the alternative of returning to England to complete his medical education or becoming a gentleman farmer in America, the layout provided by his father's fortune. It soon appeared that repression of high spirits was what had been ailing young Parker. Once in America, he soon recovered his health, endured the year as a farm apprentice, but afterwards followed his own bent. He was in his element amid the wide open spaces, the adventure and opportunity the Midwest presented in the 1880s. Supported by remittances from home, Parker completed his education at a medical school in Iowa. His career was nearly interrupted when he surreptitiously obtained a cadaver with which to pursue his study of anatomy. Succumbing again to the call of the wild, Parker answered an ad in Variety, the show business journal, and went out selling Kickapoo Indian Remedy. But the real needs of the ailing people he met depressed him. He reorganized his medicine show to answer the nagging of his conscience. Thus emerged Dr. Lawrence Parker, the great physiognomist of London, England, with a troupe including a contortionist and slack wire artist, a trapeze artist, and a Dutch and Irish character comedian. But besides selling elixir, Dr. Parker each night delivered a lecture on healthcare, and each day kept office hours in temporary quarters. Financing an independent show hadn't been easy. Such a venture took considerable investment, and Parker, characteristically, had run low on remittance money. One morning, an impressive-looking young man appeared at the office of the drug wholesale house of Noyes Brothers and Cutler in St. Paul. He was immaculately dressed, three-button vest, stiff, starched shirt bosom and collar, three gold-plated imitation diamond studs, white silk brocaded tie tied in a sailor's knot, an imitation ruby stick pin, Prince Albert coat, silk top hat, and two flashing rings on his finger. This vision of sartorial elegance not only cut a swath among the women clerks, but it impressed the credit manager. Dr. Lawrence Parker had staked his all in a gamble to obtain credit, and he made it. He not only obtained a stock of drugs, but the articulated, wired-together skeleton, which was to emerge in his personal history at times thereafter. Dr. Parker's moment of truth at Rosa, Minnesota, came in the fall of 1895. The following June, he returned, built a drugstore, and settled down to practice medicine. He had living quarters at the rear of the building where he installed his wife, daughter of an English immigrant family, née Carrie Ballard. Parker didn't establish a practice in Roseau without having his day in court. The gruesome twosome, or the fulsome foursome as the case might be, had a warrant served on the young doctor, charging that he had obtained money under false pretenses. The prosecuting attorney was hardly one to challenge Parker's credentials. Of him, another editor wrote, "The only institution Bells ever graduated from was the Keeley Institute, an alcoholism center." He had, three times. In a crowded courtroom, Bells upbraided Parker, calling him a faker, imposter, and a fraud. "He even pretends to read people's faces," he added. "That's right. I am a physiognomist," replied Parker. "I do read faces, and I see before me a man who is avaricious, cowardly, and abusive. One word is plainly written across his forehead, blackguard." This kind of language delighted the frontier audience. I'll continue reading the story of Dr. Lawrence Parker another time. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.